Salut. Oh oui, that's nature intended it. Don't panic.
Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start your radio show. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7 and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
Oh, the hen said, "Muck, muck, you are out of luck if you want to scramble eggs upon your plate." So the eggs hatched chickens and they ran like the dickens. If you want scrambled eggs, you have to wait.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N.
If you can't spell chicken, then try it once again.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N. Spell chicken, chicken, chicken all the time.
Oh, hi there. You're listening to Andy Lopez, better known as the Invisible Gardener. And the show, the name of the show is called Don't Panic, It's Organic.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N. If you can't spell chicken, then we'll fry it once again. C-H-I-C-K-E-N.
I have several shows going on throughout the week. This is the one I do here. I have another one called What's in Your Garden. I have one that's just for members only. I run a club. I have an audiobook show where I do my audio, my books. I read them out loud. And I have another show called WTF. It's an environmental alert show. And thank you for the great songs. I always ask my listeners, if you have gardening songs, to send them to me. The older, the better. Like this one. So we have a lot going on today. Today is how to control gophers naturally. And then I'll tell you, we have a contest winner. And what's going on this month. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
C-H-I-C-K-E-N. Spell chicken, chicken, chicken every time. Chicken, chicken, chicken every time.
Attention gardeners, how would you like to learn how to get rid of unwanted pests like ants and mosquitoes without using harmful pesticides? With the growing concern about West Nile virus, killer bees, and the use of synthetic pesticides, there is a better way. Go to www.invisiblegardener.com. Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener, provides alternatives to chemical products using natural ingredients you may already have at home. Do you have gardening questions or problems? Get the help you need at www.invisiblegardener.com. Join the Invisible Gardeners of America and take their online gardening classes. The Invisible Gardener has helped gardeners since 1972, and he can help you too. Visit www.invisiblegardener.com. You can talk directly to him about your gardening questions right here on The Invisible Gardener every Saturday morning. And you can reach Andy Lopez, The Invisible Gardener, anytime at www.invisiblegardener.com. Check it out on the website. That's www.invisiblegardener.com. www.invisiblegardener.com.
Hi, this is Andy. Make sure you go to Invisible Gardener. That's GARDENER.com. Thank you. Bye.
I just wrote this song, I think, yesterday, the day before yesterday. It's called Ancient Mind. And I'm going to be playing it a little bit in the background today. you can hear the whole thing up on either on SoundCloud or any other places that I posted. The best way, easiest way is to subscribe to my Inner Gardening podcast, which then you'll get it as soon as the song comes out. That's the first place I post it to. It's $2 a month, I know. Okay, so I'm going to put it right there in the background. So there are no guests today. Today I'm doing it all by myself, but doesn't mean anything because you're always open to you calling, because that's what it's all about, right? I could do this. I actually do it by myself, sit here and talk to myself all the time. But now I'm paying to sit here and talk to myself. That's fine, but I'm really doing it for you guys, okay? So if you have questions, you can call me. The easiest way I've been told is if you use Skype, to use your Skype Arena device, you know, and call BBS Radio PR. That'll go right through Skype. The engineer will plug you right into the show. I was going to do a video version of it, but I'm not really ready yet. You don't really want to see what I look like. I am an alien. Usually in the morning, I'm just in my true forms, 3 or 4 heads, 20 arms. Or is it 22? I keep forgetting because I drop them off pretty fast and they grow on again. It's hard to say. But I will be doing a video version of this show coming up soon. As soon as I get my some more stuff, because I have equipment I want to set up. I want to be able to show you this. What I've done throughout the week, some tapes, videos, you know, whatever else. Okay, so you can also call in. The call numbers are 888-627-6008. Mr. Engineer there, Don, if the music is too loud for me in the background, let me know. Otherwise, I think it's okay right there. I want it to be just to be loud enough. Usually I can work with a mixer, you know, where you can hear yourself in the back and the music and see where in relationship to the 2R, but I can't this time. So I've lowered it a little bit more. It's 888-627-6008. Okay, that's a direct number to call. I mean, that's the 800 number. The direct line is 323-744-4831. Like I said, you can call directly to the Skype number. It's BBS Radio PR, all lowercase. You can also contact me through the email at andylopez@invisibleguidener.com. I've gotten a few calls of people saying their email is not working and we can't find your website. After I explained to them that they misspelled one or two things wrong, they usually spelling both wrong, they found it. So it's invisible, like invisible man, and gardener, like in the gardener you hired, not like in James Gardner, Gardener. Okay, that's the same thing with my website, invisiblegardener.com. If you're listening to the show, which you are. Otherwise, you couldn't be listening to me tell. Actually, if you're listening to the show, it must mean that either you're a regular listener of bbsradio.com, in which case, welcome. You know how to get my podcast. There's a button there somewhere for podcasts. And if you're listening through my podcast, I don't have to tell you how to get the podcast. So welcome also. I see you made it through. If you're a member, then you're getting the members podcast because that's how you're listening to this. Otherwise, you're getting the general public Don't Panic, It's Organic podcast. So if you're not getting a podcast and you're listening to, I guess if you're not getting a podcast and you're listening to the show live, welcome. It's also good for you to get the podcast. I think that would help you not to miss anything, okay? Is that a fish? Is that like a fish? I'm the only one hearing you? Okay, Sam on line two.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Samuel. What's going on? Are you listening to me at all?
Yeah, I am.
What'd you think of this ancient mine?
I got lost in it.
It's a song. Yeah, I think your master will love it because I made it for him. I bet you the sister would love it too. So why are you calling, man?
Yeah.
You know I'm doing a radio show now, right? You know that, right?
Yeah.
So what's up? What happening? Did you get the newsletter?
I did.
Yeah, nice newsletter, right? I did it all myself.
I know, you're so talented.
What are you doing, man? You're laughing at me, aren't you? Now you're just calling me on the radio show and harassing me, aren't you?
No. I want to ask you about how we can get tropical plants to survive in a non-tropical environment.
Ooh. Tropical plants to survive in a non-tropical environment. Well, it's not that it's not possible. The key word here is tropical, and I say two words, tropical and environment. So that's the key. And so in the tropical environment, you know, you have to look at are we talking about the paradise plant, paradise tree?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's growing in Florida, right? That's to say we're in Florida, south, north, middle. Oh, wait, so Homestead is south, right, south. Okay, so I'm familiar with that environment because I kind of grew up there. Okay, so the main difference between the two is the obvious one, right? Is the temperature, right?
Yeah.
Not just the temperature of the, the environment outside, but the temperature of the soil, right?
Temperature of the soil.
Right. So the environment would be like, for example, how much light it gets, the temperature that's normally outside, whether it be 80 degrees, something like that. And then there's the temperature of the soil. And that also varies through wintertime. So I'm assuming you want to grow it here. By here, meaning California, Santa Barbara, somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So the difference is that there's a, you know, it depends on, like, where you're at, it would be, doesn't get, are you talking about growing in your place in Malibu?
Yeah.
By the way, folks, Sam is a wealthy millionaire. If you need money, he gives it away. Just write to him. I'll give you his email later on, and he'll send you whatever you want. He sent me a couple of million. I'm really so happy. Thank you, Sam. So in Malibu,
I'm not a millionaire.
I know you don't. You're very shy. But so it's all right. I'm not giving you out your last name or your phone number. You want me to give out your phone number? I'll give it out. So don't push me. So listen. So the main difference between the two places is obviously one is that one's a desert and one is not, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if it's not a desert, it means it doesn't rain as much. You have a different type, a drier environment. So here in the Malibu area, it doesn't rain as much as if, and then yeah, it's different than any of the other places, but it is a little bit more mellower in the sense that it's not 100 and something degrees, right?
Yeah.
Right, because if it gets too hot, it definitely burn the plants up because the plants are not used to getting 100 degrees. And they never get to 90 degrees. In South Florida, you see what I'm saying, right? So that's part of it. So one of the things we do would be to, if the temperatures are, because Malibu did get to 100 degrees, and that would be no good. So whenever it gets really, really hot, you have to protect it, because there are certain stages when it's young. The youngest ones are the hardest ones until they get older. And even then, you have to protect it. Look at it this way. Okay, so mangoes, right? Hello?
Maine?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, Maine?
Mangoes.
In Maine?
No, right here. Mango. You know, like when you eat a mango? That mango?
Yeah.
Okay, so yep. It's the same. So just think of it as if you're growing mangoes, because they're very situations is necessary to grow mangoes. Now, avocados are similar to mangoes, except that avocados can handle a little bit colder. The mangoes, they don't like it when it freezes. They don't like it when the soil gets really, really cold. It's the same thing with this tree. It would not like to get frozen, and it would not doesn't like cold, very cold soil. Plus, it could use a little bit more water in the atmosphere because it's a tropical plant. So that means that you're going to have to, ideal way to do it, and you cannot stick it in the ground and expect it to work. You understand why, right? Grasshopper?
Do I understand why if I put it in the ground it won't work?
I gotta like this.
Yeah, because the soil's gonna be too cold for it.
Who are you? Why do you keep calling me? What?
What?
Oh, hi, Sam.
Jesus, what's wrong with you?
So, yeah, you don't want to put it in the ground because the ground will be the temperature. You have no way to control the temperature of the ground, for starters, right?
Yeah.
When it gets really cold, that ground is going to be really cold, and the plant's going to go, holy cow, right? So you have to put it in a container, right? Like a raised bed, even in a raised bed, because you could do it with a raised bed. But so if you did it in a raised bed or a container, it means that if you know the soil is going to get cold during certain times of the year, you want to have a heating pad to heat up the soil. You want to be able to heat up the soil to keep it from getting too cold. The ideal way to do it, that's why I did in Boulder, Colorado, because, you know, it snows there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in order to get certain things to grow, I would have to heat up the soil and have a warmer environment around it, like a greenhouse. What I did was I put it up next to the pool. So the temperature of the water of the pool normally kept it a little bit more mellow, year-round, because even when it froze, the water still, you know, because the pool was kept heated, right? It would keep the area fairly warm. But even then, I still warmed up. So what I did was because I told you about a greenhouse, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you make the greenhouse warm, a way to warm it. That's a really easy way to warm it up, and that would be to run little copper pipes through it. You run it up and down on the floor, and you can pour cement over if you want to it, or whatever way you want to make a natural floor. And then you run it up on all the sides of the wall. You run only one line up to the top, and you zigzag it on the roof, and you run it back down again. And you enclose it, so you cover it so nobody sees it at all, and you fill it up with water before you're done. And that will keep the sun will warm up the water and circulate through the little greenhouse and keep it naturally just warm enough so the plant's not going to freeze its little buns off.
Got it.
The other way you do it is you could say, okay, I'm not so sure about that, but maybe what I could do. So one of the things you could do is, you know how you remember a heating mat, the heating mat?
Yep.
They have bigger versions of it that you put on the floor of a greenhouse.
Oh, okay.
You can build a greenhouse and then put a wooden floor down and then put that mat down. That'll warm up the whole thing. And on top of that, you can have it. So if you have it in a container, and they have a varieties that you actually stick in the soil. So what I would do, you could plant it in a container with that the soil heating little line in there that you plug in and you warm up the soil. Because it's the temperature of the soil that tells the plant what's going on, right? And the temperature of the soil is always the same as outside. So you may have a plant indoor in the greenhouse. It may look nice, but the soil will tell the plant it's 62 degrees out there. It's 50, right? Whatever the temperature of the soil out there, it's going to be the temperature of the soil in that little container, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the key to it. That's one of them, is to control the temperature of the soil. That means whatever. So if you do a greenhouse, if you do a raised bed, what I would do is do a greenhouse and have that, you know, warmed up already. But then in the raised bed, you can put the soil heating pads into the bottom of the raised bed, which would make that bed really nice and cozy, grow in there. And that will take care of your soil temperature problem. The other issue would be you have to duplicate the light amount of light that it would normally get where it's at. So in southern Florida, it gets a lot of light. The days are gets nice and long, don't they, right?
Yeah.
See, right. See, so over here, they're not as quite as long. So that means you have to supplement the light. So that's why LED lights will be perfect for that. Because all you have to do is extend the light, make it have a longer season. The more tropical environment you're in, the more light they get, more light the plants get. See, because when the further north you get, the less light, because that's the wintertime and so forth, and that's what makes it colder. So you have to duplicate the amount of light. And if you look at the Malibu, and you run it across to where Florida would be, you're going to see that it's actually not southern Florida. It's going to be like middle, if not north Florida, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. So that means that that plant doesn't want to grow any further than South Florida. That means it can't because it's too cold, right? If it goes to Gainesville, say, or even Orlando, it's too cold for it, unless you take care of it, like to make sure it doesn't get, right, too cold. So that means that you know you're going to have the temperature problem, and you know you have to give it enough light. So in a greenhouse, you have an LED light that you have a timer on, and you turn it on and off. Or you let it get natural light, but then you extend it by turning it on earlier and let it go on longer. See? Right? Hello?
Got it.
Right. And then the other thing would be that I would put a little misting system in the greenhouse, just a little mister, and duplicate the natural rainy season that it gets in South Florida, because it rains like almost every day during the wintertime at certain times of year, right? It rains a lot. And a lot more than it rains over here. So we don't have a desert environment. So you want it to go on, say, once or twice a week to duplicate that environment. And if the greenhouse is nice, because you have other things growing in the greenhouse, where it has its own little biosystem that's growing there, and the soil is kept really nice, you know. So those are the basic things that you need, you know, because other than feeding it right, you know, not going nuts pruning, because a lot of people, that's exactly what they do. They actually have bonsai plants, and, you know, like you can take your plant, you can take one of those plants and turn it into a bonsai, which will be in a smaller container. That's one reason why you may want to order, you know, a smaller one, but you can take it, actually make it a bonsai. So the one you get, you ordered four plants. I'm psychic and I can read your mind, but you got four plants, didn't you? Say
yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I would take one of them and turn it into a bonsai, in the sense that it would go into a much smaller container, see? And you can prune the roots, just put it into actually a bonsai container, and make it really small, and you'll keep it growing in that way. It will grow like a bonsai. It'll produce it. But the difference with that one is yeah, you can move that around where it gets the sun, it gets warm, you know. That's in essence what people do. They move them around, or they have them indoors, and then they duplicate it through the light, you know, environment. Because if you had a bonsai, let's just say a corner of the house where you had bonsais and plants growing, you have the grow light there, and it'll stay warm, you know, because you have the house will keep it warm, and then you have the right amount of light. Then the plants will do just fine and produces. They will produce, whether it be the leaves or the flowers. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
But if
isn't that what's it called when you cut off like a branch and then you like use that? Like, it's not called cloning, but it's like something else.
Well, it's a cutting. When you do a cutting. So you could, lots of different things you could do a cutting from, and probably this plant you can too, because it looks to me like it's very similar to a hibiscus type of shape. And a hibiscus, you can take it and get roots from it and grow it. But again, the cutting won't grow if the soil is too cold.
Yeah.
Right? See? So so you're going to need a greenhouse. There's no way around it. You're thinking over at your place. Right.
Okay. So, also, if I wanted to grow like bushy, I'm obviously not going to spray and use the leaves. I'm not going to spray like fish emulsion. So, what type of fertilizer would be good if you want it to be edible?
Now say that again. Let me get that straight. You wanted to grow bushy. That's what you want.
The leaves.
What? Yeah, you want to lose the leaves. You want to have as much leaf as possible. But not, you don't want a giant tree. You want a nice bushy tree that you can produce a lot from.
Yeah, and then I want to use the leaves, and I want them because they're edible, but I don't want to spray fish emulsion as a fertilizer.
That's right. That's right. And just so the folks know, this is a wealthy guy. He takes me around a lot, and he helps me a lot, and he likes to call, and, you know, so we know each other, and I visit his tropical island several times, and he grows all kinds of fantastic things. And we're not talking about pot. We're talking about this plant called paradise. It's right, paradise, right?
Yeah.
It's obviously some kind of exotic plant that's really, really good. Tell the folks a little bit about it, sir, if you don't mind, please.
Well, I'd just like to correct the previous statement. I'm not wealthy at all.
I know, he keeps saying that. You have to stop saying that. You have to relax. Go with the flow. You know what I'm saying? It's okay if you're wealthy. I don't care. Anybody here care if he's wealthy? Okay, all those people over there care. So you should talk to them. Oh, the lady wants to talk to you after the show, Sam. I got your number.
Okay.
So she said to me, I get an email from these people saying, he's cute. Does he have? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's. Well, no, I don't know. He's not into. We'll talk about it later. I have to type her.
What? I'm not into what?
So look, yeah. So that's one reason why you do it in a greenhouse for starters. Because if you're going to be eating it, you want to control it. Now, since we're not talking about pot plants, because that's pretty much the similar thing you do with pot plants. You can grow it indoors. You take care of it. Since you're going to smoke it with medicine, you don't want to be spraying it with stuff. You definitely don't want to be spraying it with fish emulsion unless you're kind of like really into that stuff, because it'll taste pretty interesting. I would say, oh, yummy, fish emulsion. That was like a 1902 fish emulsion. Yes. Oh, yes. But so that means that ideally you don't really want to be spraying it at all. If you do spray it, you'll spray it with something really mellow. Even compost tea may change the taste of it if you spray it a lot, right?
Yeah.
Right. So what you do is you learn how to deal with it in terms of how the food you give it. So in a container, that's why in a greenhouse it's really, really good. It's really even better, like I said, to do it in a raised bed in the greenhouse. Because then you have a lot of control over how you feed it, for example. Because you can do a lot of stuff right in the water, in the way it gets watered. Because in a raised bed or in a container, a raised bed will be easier. Because you can put a subsurface drip system, so it's not on top. It's right in the soil. It's right buried right in there, and you have a timer that turns it on and off. You know what a fertigation unit is, right? So you can plug that into it. You can put your tea in there. You put your super seaweed in there, whatever nutrients you want. It will go out in the water, feed the plant. You won't have to spray it at all, touch it at all. And if it's in a greenhouse environment, you don't have to worry about birds poo-pooing on it, other animals want to eat it, other insects who may know that it's actually good for them too, and want, oh look, I don't know what, if you eat from the leaves of this paradise tree, you won't die. And that's true for insects, you know, but you know what I'm saying? So that's why, so in a greenhouse perfect for you, I would probably do it not necessarily out in front, but maybe out in back, you know what I'm saying?
Out back,
well, you know, not necessarily next to the pool, but out there where you have that other little open space.
Okay.
Maybe out there. Right? Out there somewhere. You could put next to that other little building. What?
Is super seaweed going to be too extreme of a fertilizer?
Super seaweed is not a fertilizer. It's a microbiological activator. So it's actually very good for the plants. You just have to find... too much you're wasting it. Too much of a good thing is not good. So usually you want to do a small amount on a regular basis. But you still do have to fertilize it. Ideally, what you have to do is you have to look and see where it's growing. Like I would talk to the people you bought it from. How have you been feeding it? How you been taking care of it? How much water you been giving it, right? You didn't ask them that, did you?
No.
Mofo, you didn't ask them, mofo. You don't care, mofo. Come on, mofo. Come on, put him up, mofo. I see you in there, man. So I would call the call the nursery back up and say, yo, blood, what it is, listen, man. You know, let me get down to this. Let me say, listen, you know, what have you been feeding these plants? Because I want to know how much water, you know, what kind of music do they like? I mean, you got to figure it out so they can tell you, see? And then, and from there, the guy says, oh, I've been using Miracle-Grow. Holy cow. Then you have to help them get off the drugs. More likely, they haven't been doing it organically. You can figure on that, right? So you're going to have to help the poor plants. You have to tell them, look, I can't give you your drugs anymore. I'm sorry. I'll help you to transcend over to a more natural environment growing thing, because they will go through withdrawals. You know, you have to help them with that. But I'm happy to help you with all that stuff. That's easy to do.
Okay.
All right. So we cool?
We cool, man.
I thought you were never going to talk to me again. You told me you loved me, and then you just left me. You left me here with the children.
What?
I wasn't going to say anything.
We're not in
I don't know.
Either.
What?
That was 10,000 years ago.
I've been trying to get Sam on board here, whatever I'm doing, for quite a few years now. I have to give up because, you know, Sam is on his own quest. I offered him to be vice president of my business. He doesn't want to. He'd rather go out and work for Burger King or sell his body. By the way, he's very cheap, $25 an hour. I think that's a good deal. But I don't know. He has no future in that. So I've been trying to get him to be a co-host of my radio show here, but he ain't doing it. I'm surprised he called and asked a question. Seriously. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, what?
You're not giving me enough credit.
I give you lots of credit, man. I tell people you're one of the most amazing people on the planet. You're a genius, a high spiritual being. I mean, you're what, 21, 22?
23.
So you're an old person already. Damn. Time goes by real fast, huh, Sam? Didn't I just meet you when you were like 7 or 8 or something?
Well, probably when I was like 13.
Wow, so I've known you, what, almost 10 years now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just have to get used to the fact.
How come,
what?
How come you see me that way, but my own father doesn't see me that way?
Parents never see their children as the most amazing being on the planet. They never do. I've never met anybody say, my son was the most amazing being on the planet. Usually you got to figure it out yourself. And I don't mind telling you that because you are, and it doesn't help. You know, I mean, it may or may not help your ego or not, but I think you are. You know, when I first met you, I said, cool, this kid's got it together. Unfortunately, you have it together in certain areas. Other things you have to be trained to, you know, like how to deal with society, social stuff, you know, gardening. Lots of things you have to be trained in. But certain things you seem to already know, you know. And so that's good. And so you just have to figure out what it is you want to do with your life. And I know you have to go off and do your school thing. Your parents are saying you got, you know, they're not going to give you your millions and millions of dollars until you've graduated from school. I know that. That's cool. So go to it, do your thing, and then see what happens 2 years from now and see where we're at. You know, you're welcome to come back and say, Andy, I wish I had taken you up on that. And rather than going to school, because now I got 2 years and I'm back again and I don't have any place to go and I need to crash out in your garage. Okay. That's, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm doing so. You can do that, but you're not gonna. You just can't stick it in a container and just like this the sister did, have it sitting out there because wintertime is going to be too cold for it. The Santa Anas will come and just destroy it. There's no Santa Anas in Florida.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So you can't just put it in a container and leave it out there and go. Let's see what happens.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So you're going to have to, okay. If you, what?
Okay, take him in.
Right, and you can't take him in during the wintertime and expect him to suffer because they're going to be lacking the right light conditions. You can't put him in your garage, you can't put him in your bedroom, and then bring him back out again.
Okay.
The luckiest they survive through that. See, that's why, so I would tell your parents, I want to grow this, and it's for my help, and I need a greenhouse. It doesn't have to be a giant two-story thing. You put something in the back there, like I said, next to where the other where you sit outside and there's a little open space there. Maybe back in there somewhere. It has to be in the sun. So right in the corner where the fence is, somewhere down in there, you know, and it'd be great. You can do whatever else in there too. If you ever decide you want to do your vegetables even if you want to grow some pot plants, it'll do just fine right in there. Nobody ever know it other than the millions of people that are listening to this show now. Call me later. I'll give you guys the address. Okay. Are we done, Sam? Because, you know, I am doing a show now, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
www.invisiblegardener.com.
This is Andy. Make sure you
okay, man. Take care now.
Invisible Gardener. That's
right.
Thank you for calling.
GARDENER.com.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's Sam. He is a local Malibuian. I've known him for a few years now. Pretty cool kid. He likes to do my business, but doesn't really want to do the business. He's not sure what he wants to do, but he'll figure it out. So today I'm going to be talking to you about gophers, natural gopher control. Go ahead. Lower it a little bit more there. So I got this email, which, by the way, is from the same person that remember I told you that the way you enter the contest is that you either have to send me email with a question, right? Or you can call me with a question. Sam is already a member, so he's not going to even be entered. Well, what happens with members who call, it's just so you know, Sam, you are a member, but what happens that members that call, they get put on a separate members list, and the members are a winner. I pick one member a month, and that member will get an Invisible Gardener's Growers Kit. You get a Growers Kit. And the Growers Kit is a $200 value. You get 5 pounds of Invisible Gardener Special Rock Dust Blend and a quart of Super Seaweed. The quart alone is $150. But otherwise, you can either call me, email me, right? And if you call me, then ideally what we need to do is, because people have called and then, of course, they hang up after the show. I have no idea how to get a hold of them or anything. So it won't help for me to tend to them in a contest. I personally called, you know. So if you do call, you may want to give your email address, name and email address to the engineer who will then forward it to me, this caller, that caller, okay? You can actually do both. You can send me your question, Andy Lopez at invisiblegardener.com. Wait a second. Okay. There you go. Send it to Andy Lopez at invisiblegardener.com, and you can tell me I'm going to call you and with the question. So this person here, the person who won for May, her name is Jean N. I don't give out the last names. And she's from Santa Barbara, California. She's going to be receiving my book, the color version of the book, which is a $100 book by itself. And then the black and white version is $20. And then she has already been sent, and she's also going to get a free lifetime membership, so she'll get a congratulations, you'll want email, click here, follow instructions. That'll get her plugged into everything that members get. She'll get the newsletter, she'll get access to the members page, which has the members podcast, and also has access to all the e-books that you get. You get all my e-books. You'll be able to leave questions in the Ask Andy forum. And you get access to the organic hotline. Okay. All right. So let's see. So the winner. So like I said, Gene N from Santa Barbara County. So we're taking. So this is a new month. So we have new months worth of for winners. I think. So in July, I'll be announcing the winners for this month. So send me your emails to Andy Lopez at InvisibleGardener.com. If you, by the way, one of the advantages of calling through the Skype BBS radio PR number is that it'll be a record up here, and I should be able to get in touch with you if you do it that way. You know, that should be some way for me to get back to you and say, you know, I'll need your email one way or the other so I can send you the link to the show, to the membership, okay? So you can also subscribe right here from bbsradio.com. You can do it from my page, which takes you to if you go to my website, you do Invisible Gardener Radio. It says click here to go bbsradio.com, but also if you scroll down, you'll see you can subscribe to my podcast right through there. The Don't Panic is free podcast. You can subscribe through there, or you can subscribe from the bbsradio.com website. So today I'm going to talk to you about natural gopher control, because I received an email, and basically it says, Andy, you're the reason why I listen to bbsradio.com. Thank you for your continued enthusiasm to educate us lay people who aspire to become invisible gardeners in our spare time. For the first time after a dozen years and lots of new landscaping, we're finding what seems to be gopher mounds and gopher squirrel holes. Our neighbor's Dewey guy kindly investigated these pockets of holes and mounds and offered monthly gopher deterrent granules plus pesticide sprays for bugs. We said we would have to think about the monthly service commitment because it was a bit pricey, and I was concerned about if I continue to eat my citrus and use figs growing in our yard. What's your advice on getting these rodents out of our yard? Okay, so it's very wise of you not to... Well, here's the thing about the Dewey guy, okay? So gophers is a big problem, and there are lots of pest control companies that take care of gophers. And there are lots of different ways that they do it. So what I would do is to talk to the Dewey guy and say, well, what is it that you're using in this granule? Because the big companies use a gas granule that gets thrown into the tunnel and emits a gas. It's a it's not organic, but it's a toxic gas. And there are all various different variations of what's in that toxic gas. It's supposed to be, I don't know enough about it, and I have to do some research on whether the toxic gas stays with the animals that it kills, or whether it doesn't, like carbon monoxide. So it might just give off carbon monoxide, which is the perfect thing for it to have to do. So I would find out what it is that's being used. If they do use something that's non-offensive to other creatures, then it's possible to do that. That's one of the things you could do, but you're not really dealing with the problem. You always have this problem to deal with. So what you ideally, so you have to, as I teach people long-term and short-term solutions, let me go over the long-term solutions first, because this takes a long time for it to be effective to work. And so the ideal way is to make a barrier, right? So you can build a physical barrier. That's one way to do it. It's not really long-term. That's like immediate. You go out and dig a moat, and yeah, you fill it with water, put crocodiles in it. That always works for me. I'm not kidding. It does work. And no gophers will go underneath that. But in the another sense, you can build a barrier by going down, say, 2 feet, and you can either fill it with gopher wire or fill it with rocks, and then fill everything back in again. That forms a barrier that they won't go underneath. 2 feet deep enough. You can do 3 feet. But usually 2 feet will stop them from going on under and around. Another type of barrier that you can use is more of a natural barrier, which takes more time and is very, very effective. And again, it also depends on where you lived, whether you can use these or not. But these are bulbs. You basically plant bulbs. And there's a specific type of bulb called paper white narcissus. And paper white narcissus happens to be toxic to gophers and moles. By the way, Deborah was supposed to call and ask me about the difference between gophers and mole. So if you're listening, Deborah, never mind. And I'm not going to tell you what the difference between gophers and moles since you didn't ask me. So the long-term solution is to make a barrier that will keep them away. And it just so happens that the paper white narcissus is toxic to them. And if they eat it, they die or they get a really bad headache. Sorry. And if you're in California, you can get away with planting them, and they'll normalize and grow on their own. You don't have to pull them up every year, unlike tulips and other types of bulbs. So you, during certain times of year, they have bulb sales. These bulb companies have bulb sales. So a customer bought like 10,000 bulbs for about $500. Good deal. She planted them right next to each other. Always. So she dug a little hole, a little mound. It was about a foot deep. And she replaced it with good soil and planted the bulbs down there, touching right next to each other, all the way around her property. And it wasn't long before the bulbs came up. Every year, filled in more and more and more and more, get bigger as they get bigger and bigger. Eventually, you can take and separate and plant them other places too. But it will keep the gophers out. Main thing about it is if you have kids. No, I'm not talking to her. It doesn't count if I tell her to call and then she calls. So I'm not. No, don't put her on. What? What?
Hello.
It doesn't count.
Is Andrea? I mean, Andy. Is Andy there?
No, it doesn't count.
All right, fine. You had your other person call in.
But I didn't have him call in. He decided to call.
Well, that call took a half an hour, and I just felt there wasn't enough time. So what is the difference between moles and gophers?
I knew you were going to say that.
I really, really, really want to know, Andy.
I knew you were going to say that. It's just a different kind of creature. A mole is a smaller creature. They're both the mole is basically blind. A gopher is not. A gopher is about three times the size. Bigger hands, you know. He speaks more faster. He's like, hey, what's happening? What? I'm always like, hey, man, what's happening, you know?
But say, how do you know which you have underneath your lawn that's making the tunnels? And the
okay, so moles don't come up to the surface. Moles will do a tunnel. You'll see a tunnel, but you won't see anybody coming up. Gophers will have little openings every 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 feet down the road.
Okay, well that's good to know. I think I just have mounds, so it must be moles.
No,
I don't have any openings.
Moles don't do mounds. Gophers are the ones that do the mounds. Moles do the they leave little ridges like a tunnel. They leave a little, you know, you can see where the tunneling was, like
yeah,
a little.
Yeah, no, I see that. Yeah, I that's what I have, I think.
But you don't leave. So if you think you have mold. And the treatment's pretty much the same way, is that you can't really plan on killing them all.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a long time ago, it's much easier if they kill themselves. And you say, I have nothing to do with it. I told them the stuff was bad. They ate it. I can't do anything, right? Then me try to kill them. Because when I was a kid, I was going after them with whatever it is I was getting. I would steal atomic bombs from the military, plant them in the backyard, poof. They would still be there. I would take, you know, whatever. After a while, I was like, okay, fine. There has to be a way. But here's a couple of things you can do without killing them. No, that's awful. I heard about that, and I tried that 1 year. And then I found this gopher dead, and he had it all over his face. He was choked from it. And I said, no, that was more like torture. I said, no, I'm not going to do that, okay? I did the same thing when I put like cayenne pepper in the tunnel. I thought it was smart. Okay, I'm going to put cayenne pepper in. Then I found this gopher dead. He had it all over his face, his poor little hands. That was torture. I said, nope, not going to do that again. So I'm not going to do anything that tortures them, okay?
I am with you.
Okay, so there's two things you can do, two ways to do it. Because I tell people, okay, if you're going to kill, you kill as a last resort. I tell people it's like Captain Kirk told Spock, "Spock, we're not going to kill today." Right?
Right.
Right. So you don't have to kill unless you absolutely have to. And then, so here's some things you do first before I show you a really safe way to kill them. Because you, problem with killing them is they, like I was talking about, the lady sent me an email saying the granulates, right? Some of them are toxic. There's a gas, but the gas stays in the body of that little creature, and a bird comes, a cat, guess who's going to get it too? So you have to find out from them what it is. So there are some very interesting things that I have come up with through my craziness over the year. One of them is hair.
Hair?
Hair.
Like hair. From the human head?
Yeah, long, beautiful hair, waxing.
Like from your hairbrush?
You know that song? You know that, what's the name of that show called Hair, right where they're singing?
Yes, back in the 60s, yes.
It's kind of like Jesus Christ Superstar.
But they
my show's going to be over soon. Wait a second. Okay, so you have to use hair. You go to the good old boys barbershop and get hair and put the hair down their tunnels.
They don't like the hair? What is that? Does it frighten them or what does it do?
Well, what do you think? Especially when the days are hot and the nights are hot.
Oh, it smells like a human, maybe. That's
there you go. And it starts to break down. They're in here. And the best type of hair is from animals. So you have, so you go to these pet places where they're doing the dog or the, sometimes they do cats. Oh, yeah, that's the best. And the ideal best, because what I used to do is I go to the zoo. And when the lions and the tigers and those things were getting hair, I want those and that poor creature in there. What the heck is in this tunnel? Right? Right?
Wow. So they'll just leave and go someplace else? Or?
They will leave. Now they'll try to cut. First thing they'll do is they'll try to throw it out of the tunnel. You'll see it thrown over, so you want to put a big rock. Maybe they may shove it to the other tunnel. Eventually they'll give up because you got to be able to put it down all over the place. It doesn't work when the nights are cold. It has to be hot so it starts to stink up the place. The carnivorous animals are best, you know, because they'll run away from them. Another thing you can always do is you can buy a grass snake, let it grow. It'll go into the tunnels and kill them. Another thing you can do to repel them with is coffee. Coffee beans does a wonderful job, especially vanilla. French vanilla, they hate vanilla. Vanilla is toxic to them. So you take the coffee beans.
Is it the
whole
bean itself?
Yes, ma'am. You actually take a whole bunch of them, not just one bean.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to take one bean. You're going to put one bean in the tunnel, aren't you? You are.
No, I was going to put ground vanilla coffee in the tunnel.
No, the ground one won't last as long as beans.
Okay.
I've gone through this before. Trust. You can put the ground up in there. After the sprinklers, a little bit of water, they're gone. It'll last you maybe a few days to a week, right?
That's true. That would make sense.
The beans will last a lot longer, especially in the tunnel.
Got it.
Here's something else you can do that's even worse, okay? Garlic. Mm. Garlic. So what you do is you take the beans, the coffee beans, you soak them in the garlic.
Oh,
yeah. Some people really like it. If you're Italian, you probably think that's cool. It just makes some garlic coffee out of it, really. You know, but what happens is that if you can soak the beans in the garlic and you put them in the tunnel, you have this strange garlic coffee mix smell that would drive anybody. It works against elephants, tigers, lions, you name them. So it'll work any creature, like also snake, that has a sensitive nose, and that uses their nose to follow. Because if you're camping, when I used to go camping, and they'll say, danger, bears. Well, I take coffee beans, sprinkle around the outside of the campsite. Bears go, don't go over there, man. You don't want to go over there.
Really? I had a bear crawl over my fence at 9:30 a couple nights ago to get into my trash can, and I knocked in the window, and it broke part of my gate getting back over because it was afraid of my knock. So if I put coffee in there, it will deter them?
I'll tell you what I did. I'll tell you what you can do. Well, I don't know if it's legal or not, but here's what I did up Deer Creek when I lived. And Mr. Engineer, I don't know if we have time. Sometimes we probably do. And he'll tell me, he'll say, well, you have to go now. We have somebody coming up. Or he'll say, I don't know what's going on. He's out there. Does he smoke cigarette? Because I think he's outside smoking a cigarette. But I think, anyway.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now your audience you'll tell can hear us, me. Right? Yes, I was actually outside smoking a cigarette. You nailed me. That was, hey, you're psychic.
I know, man. I could tell you a lot more about you than you really want to know. We could do that one of my shows.
I'm afraid you might be right.
I can do readings over this thing really easy. It's a very childish play for me to do readings. I do all kinds of reading. I didn't tell you this, but my mom is part of the Gypsy tribe. And she told me how to do the tarot readings. I have my own deck I created. I do past life reading, crystal balls, you name those things. They used to come to me in Florida, to my mom, and hang on, Deborah.
you mean for like okay. children's parties and baby bar mitzvahs and things like that?
No, not really. I would do it for corporate parties. I'm serious. I would do past life parties for corporate parties. So they would invite me. There'd be 100 people sitting there, and I would group them together into different scenarios, so to speak.
You scenario. Said pass out. You were saying a pass out party?
Pass life.
Oh, I was saying the former was a little fun.
I've been to a pass
but...
out party. I like pass out parties.
A pass out party? That's pretty good.
But what are we talking about, Deborah?
Bears, how to deter bears from getting in.
All right,
the
so what I did over
in
here
backyard.
In Deer Creek, and I wasn't bears, but it was coyotes, is that I bought meat and I injected X-laxes with meat and I let the coyotes have it, and they had the runs. And it didn't hurt them, actually. I thought it was good for them. I thought, no, it was good for them because it cleaned them out, but they didn't come back. They said, no, don't eat the food over there, it's bad, and they didn't come back. I wouldn't do that with the bears so much because, you know, bears are protected. You can't do anything to them. But you can you definitely tell them not to be there. And coffee, bears are unique. You know, they scavenge all the time for people food. So they probably like coffee if I were a bear. If I would go, oh, this is good. You chew on this, your teeth get numb. I would be good with a bit with coffee.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right?
I think they all eat the coffee. Yeah.
Right. So it's very difficult. So if I had lived there, I would probably go with sound. Because one of the things I did was, you know how they have these horns? They got real loud horns, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Well, put hook it up so you can hook it up to a motion detector and just set it up at night. And if they run across it, and get it.
That
would definitely scare them. After a while, they won't come around, you know. That would be one way to do it. See?
Well, somebody told me to pour, alcohol or Some like hydrogen peroxide over the trash, and then they won't get in there. Well, but it doesn't work for me. I don't know. My bear is very persistent.
Yeah, the thing to do is to you know, I wouldn't use anything that because, you know, there are lots of different things you could do. You can spray it with an essential oil, for example. You know what essential oils are, right?
Yes.
They have lavender, peppermint, eucalyptus, almond. Mm-hmm. You know, tea tree oil. You have... So, and because the bears are very sensitive noses, you could try spraying something like that. But the trick is not to spray the actual can of stuff, but to spray around your property so they have to go through that to get to the can.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So the coffee beans works really good in one sense is that they help to mask. They have to smell that it's ready to cook. Then they'll come to it, right? They'll smell the food in the can, right?
Right.
So
right.
I would try. I would definitely. Yeah. I would definitely try sprinkling coffee beans around the edge of your property that they would smell first.
Okay.
Right? Because they would smell the coffee beans and they would go, sure. Maybe they may not smell the rest of it that's hanging in the house. So that's why you want to get the more fragrant coffee bean. I use the French vanilla. Trust me, that vanilla stuff is really bad for a lot of animals with sensitive noses. They get that in their nose. They go, the heck with it. I'm out of here because they can't smell anything else.
What about skunks? The skunks will eat anything.
Well, again, it's all it has to do. All these things, creatures have one thing in common. They have very sensitive noses. They can pick okay. things out for their noses, right?
Yes.
Trust me, I've been doing this stuff for a longer time. I even speak, you can
I
speak Italian to them. You can speak Italiano. You say, hey, mamma mia, let me talk to you, right? So look, they have one thing. They have several other things in common. Okay, they all have very sensitive hearings, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right, so there's certain things you can play that they won't like. Certain sounds, yeah, certain frequencies you can play they won't like.
They come really early in the morning, though, when you're
right.
When you're
that's why you get a motion detector. So if you really, if I lived there, I would do it as a study. I would say, okay, let's see what is it they don't like in terms of sounds, because you can get a motion detector that will turn things on when they detect a motion, whether it be a light, whether it be a sound, whether it be a re-recording. Okay, and so there's a bunch of different things. If you're really clever like I am, you could actually do it. For example, I just give you a wild, crazy. So what if the bear was coming over? So I'm going to go over to Deborah's place and check out her food, right? And then he walks up to the fence. And next thing you know, you're a lion roar. Uh-huh. That bear's going to go, okay, I'm out of here. Sorry. Push. Or something.
No, well, that might work. Yeah.
Any other number of things will probably work
or
really well.
Barking or something.
Okay, yeah. So you can get a male bear who's telling everybody, stay the heck away from my place. You're roar right from my place. Play that. And that bear will go, okay, fine, buddy. I don't know where you're at. I'm not. The thing is that they can hear really well and they can smell really well. And you're smarter than them, I think. I'm smarter than them. I know I'm smarter than them, okay? I can outwit them. They may be outwitting you. That's because you're letting them. You don't let them outwit you. You can use it against them without hurting them. So the sound thing is important in that sense, is that you can actually train them when they do something, meh, you know what I mean? They get that sound.
Yeah.
It's also all the different things.
I hate to break in, but you've become quite popular. You have a fellow from Mexico named Alan. Not Alan, but Alan. And I believe he speaks Spanish, and maybe you do too. And if you do, Alan. Welcome.
Alan.
I'm sorry, Crazy
Pan.
I didn't catch it.
Alan? Hi.
The thing is that... Sorry, you were speaking to my husband. The thing is that he has a missing brother in Mexico. They had given us your information because they had said that you guys help people out, find their relatives.
Not the right place.
Excuse me?
No, this
yes,
is not
we,
even the
we
right
will
place.
Help you find your relative.
I would?
Why not? Seems they called into the right program, so maybe we can help them out.
Okay, so wait a second. So you have somebody missing?
Yes.
And you think that might be able to find him for you?
They had given us your information saying that they stated that you guys help locate.
I think you might be calling the wrong place on one level because maybe because the BBSradio.com has a lot of psychics on here. Is that it? Is that why?
So give me a minute.
I'm feeling something. I think.
Hello?
Yeah, I think they might be missing someone, and that someone I think is in the United States.
No, they're in Mexico.
Well, how do you know that?
Because he went missing in Mexico.
Huh. So someone went missing, and you're looking for them in Mexico.
Yes.
Well, I think he's right. He's probably in the United States.
Yeah, I'm feeling United States all the way, you know?
And that's probably why you're not finding it, because he doesn't want to find. He doesn't want to be found, so he's hanging out somewhere in the United States.
Right.
Is he your brother?
Yes.
There you go. We're both right.
I would, you know, just go inside and communicate with him as a sister and to find out what's going on, because there's something else going on. Because was everything normal up until he disappeared? Yo hablo español.
Okay, the thing is, you're saying that he's in the United States, but how would he be in the United States if he lives in Mexico? Do you understand?
Right, so how would he not be in the United States? Because he lives in Mexico, does that mean he's not didn't leave and go do something weird and go to the United States? There's a reason why. Whether he was taken against his will or whether he decided to leave Mexico and the United States was the easiest place for him to go at this time. So I think you need to just, you know, need to look and see what is going on, in the sense of this is not normal for a person to get up and leave his country and go somewhere else. So something else is going on. ¿Verdad?
Sorry.
Okay, guys, come on. Move this. I'm sorry, but I think I'm done with my show today, unless there's more here. Okay?
All right. Well, Alon, it was a pleasure helping you and your lost brother. Maybe he'll call in and we'll point him towards Mexico, and you two will get together. All right, they're gone. Carry on, carry on.
Are you still there, Deborah?
I think Deborah just hung up.
Yes, okay. Well, everybody, thank you very much for listening to my show. I normally, you know, I'm not really doing a psychic hour. I could do something like that. I don't like the word psychic because it's a little bit misleading. Let's just say I'm highly intuitive. I'm a being from another planet visiting Earth, and it's just something I do. Maybe I could do it, but I'm trying to stick to a couple of simple things, like, for example, you know, gardening. I do a lot of that, but I'm also trying to expand people's awareness. I teach a variety of things, like the music, for example. This is another song called Earth, Soil, Energy. That was the ending of that one. Yeah. Oh, by the way, listen to this. You might like this. This is a... I was telling Don about this. Let's see if I can get it to work. Hang on. And then I guess you people are wondering what the heck's going on. Well, that's what happens. You have to be open to everything. Everything happening, right? Here it goes.
Hello.
Good morning, Andy. It's time for you to start the radio show.
What happened?
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Whenever I come to Earth, I like listening to BBSradio.com.
That's what I'm working on right now. Anyway, thank you very much for listening to my show. On the second week of the month, I have Robert from Soil Solution is going to be back on again. Hopefully you're getting my newsletter. I got a brand new newsletter coming out every week now. If you're not, you can go to the website and click on I want to receive my newsletter. I think it's I want to receive my newsletter. But you'll see, receive our newsletter. That way you'll get that. Send me email and talk to me. I don't mind you calling about other things, but you know, I think it takes it off too much for the subject in terms of other people are not interested. I might do that some other time. All right, guys, take care now. Thank you very much for listening to my show. Happy growing organically, of course. Yo, look at that. I still keep doing it. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.